So that is left to the oral law. We know there's two parts of the Torah. There's the oral law, Torah Shebichtav, and the Torah Shebaal Peh, the written law and the oral law. So the written law, which is the five books of Moses, the Chumash, doesn't tell us much about Rosh Hashanah. It does not even tell us it's the start of a new year. Know that? In the Torah law, what is the start of the new year? Nisan. The date that we came out of Mitzrayim, the date we came out of Egypt, that's the start of the Jewish year, according to the Torah. The Torah does not have names for months. It has numbers for months. The first month, the second month, the third month. And the first month of the year is Nisan. Nisan is the first month of the year. So there's a lot of information which is missing from the text when it talks about Rosh Hashanah. But here in this psalm, we're going to learn certain things about Rosh Hashanah. And this psalm is said, it became also a psalm for every Thursday. This is the psalm of the day for Thursdays. Interesting. The psalm for Rosh Hashanah is also the psalm for Thursdays, which we're going to talk about why. Why? Yes.
I have a question. Yes. The Torah doesn't talk a lot about Rosh Hashanah. Why did you feel not about Rosh Hashanah?
I'll tell you why. Because it's oral law. A lot of it is oral law. Oral law, which is in the Mishnah. Mishnah and the Talmud, they're the ones who discuss. And we're going to see, that's what they tell us, is this is the day of judgment. The written law does not tell us it's a day of judgment. Right? The Chumash does not say it's a day of judgment. It just says a day of blowing the shofar. It doesn't tell us why we're blowing the shofar. We're going to see. So this psalm sheds some light. Before we go to the oral law, this psalm sheds some light on it. So number one, it tells us, it's a psalm on Gittit. Question is, what is Gittit? So Rashi says, Gittit are musical instruments which are manufactured in a place called Gat. Have you heard of Gat? Gat was the capital city of the Philistines, okay, on the coastline. And we find the story of David HaMelech. He runs away to Gat, to the Avimelech, Melech Pelishtim. He would live in a place called Gat. So the Philistines had five cities. The Philistines had five cities. One of them was Gat. Okay. And so Rashi says, "Ala Gittit, Lama Zera Gittit." It's the conductor who have instructions. This is a song to be played on the musical instruments called the gut, the Gittit. And what is a gut? Rashi says it's a manufactured in a place called Gut. It's a musical instrument manufactured. Doesn't tell us much about it. It's a manufactured in a place called Gut. However, there's a midrash that says over here a gut is a wine press. We know that in the Gemara and the Mishnah, a gut is a wine press. So there's a wine press. Where are the grapes? And the answer is, we are the grapes. In the previous psalm, it refers to Klal Yisrael as a vine tree. Mm-hmm. And we sing at weddings. In vea geffen, be in vea geffen. You know that song? Mm-hmm. In vea geffen, right? Be in vea geffen. The grapes of the vine tree and the grapes of the vine tree. Jews are compared to vine trees and olives. Two things. We have two fruits that we're compared to. We're compared to vine trees. So the question is, why are we compared to vine trees? Why are we compared to vine trees? So Rav Samson Raphael Hirsch, he tells us, he translates, this is a psalm for God who grants victory over the wine pressing. That's what goes to the wine pressing. He says the previous psalm, Psalm 80, which we don't have time to do today, depicts Israel as a grapevine, and all the exiles and persecutions are the wine press. What presses the wine? If we're the grapes, what presses us? Persecution and suffering presses us. So Hashem's plant, which is the vine, the Jews, are pressed. And the vine will, and the glory, this psalm is now going to talk about the glory the vine will receive if it submits to being purified by the wine press. So we are the vines. The wine press is the crushing of the Jewish people in servitude. Where was the first crushing of the Jewish people? And the answer is, we were crushed. We were crushed in Egypt. In Egypt. The first crushing of the Jewish people was in Egypt. And this psalm is celebrating our freedom from Mitzrayim, which we're going to discuss, and then we're going to connect it to Rosh Hashanah. By Asaf. Who is Asaf? So, was Asaf a person? So, literally, Asaf means to gather in, the gathering of the Jewish people from exile. So, this psalm is praising God for the gathering of the vine, for the wine press, which is the exile, and bringing them back into Israel. We're in verse 2. Harninu l'Elohim Uzenu. Arouse joyous song to the God of our might. Arouse joyous song. When is this day? So here the Radak says this is talking about Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, Hashem showed us His might. Because from Rosh Hashanah on, the Jews were free of slavery in Egypt. Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Pharaoh, gives him the plague of blood, and from that time on, Jews never worked anymore. We were free before we were free. There's two kinds of freedom. There's freedom from servitude, and there's freedom from Egypt. The freedom from Egypt took place on Nisan.
I thought at the beginning they made them work harder.
He did. But then when he got the plague of blood, all the work stopped. We went on strike. No more. Hashem is going to teach him the 10 Makot. So 10 Makot started in Rosh Hashanah. And that's when all the work stopped. All the work stopped. So everything stopped on Rosh Hashanah. And that caused the song which we're going to sing. This is a song of the events after the freedom of the Jews in Egypt itself. The Miri points out that Harninu is celebrate with others. Sing with others. Don't just sing for yourself. Sing with others as well. It's a plural. Sing with others. And the reason why it's the song of the day for the fifth day of the week is because the fifth day of the week was the day which God created fish and birds. And what do birds do? They sing. They sing. And plus, when we see the fish and birds, we're happy. People go to aquariums. People go to
aviaries.
And they see the birds and they're happy. They see the birds and they see the fish and they praise God. We're meant to praise God. If you go to an aquarium and don't praise God, you just wasted your time. If you go to the zoo and you didn't praise God, you wasted your time. You have to praise God. But look what God did. He created all these different kinds of animals for us. Created all these beautiful animals. Color for birds, color for fish. And we should praise God. So Harninu is the fifth day. Why the fifth day? Because that's when God created birds and fish that will help us praise Him, and also the birds are praising Him as well. Harinu l'Elohei Yaakov, call out to the God of Jacob. Why the God of Jacob? Why not the God of Abraham? So the question is, why the God of Jacob? And the answer is because he was the patriarch who took us down into Mitzrayim. So this mizmor is really about coming out of Mitzrayim, but we said the first stage of our freedom in Egypt took place on Rosh Hashanah. So from the moment Jacob arrived in Mitzrayim, the 210 years of bondage started. 210 years. How do we know it's 210 years? Because the Torah says the word Redu Shama. Redu means go down into Egypt. Redu Resh Dalet Vav. It's Gematria 210. 210 years they were in Egypt. Meiri associates Hariu here. Hariu Lelokei Yaakov. Hariu comes from the word Teruah. Teruah. What's Teruah? It's the blowing of the shofar. That's the connection now. So we see a direct connection between this psalm and Rosh Hashanah. Hariu. So the theme of the shofar is Rosh Hashanah, the Yom HaDin. It's the day of judgment where God sits on the throne of judgment and Israel begs for mercy through the blowing of the shofar. The Pesikta Rabbah says that when we blow the shofar, Hashem moves from the seat of judgment to the seat of mercy. The shofar has a tremendous impact in the worlds above. Has a tremendous impact in the worlds above. And therefore, that's why we blow the shofar. And we're going to talk about it more in details soon. So there we have a hint of here. And we're on verse 4. Tiku b'chodesh shofar. Here we are. Explicit. First it says, Tzu zimrat nutof. Strike up the song and sound the timbrel. Here we have another instrument they would use. A timbrel. Which we find early on in Parshat Bishalach, where Miriam sings, takes the women and sings with the timbrels. Right. So make music to God in every possible way, with words and with music. Kinnor na'im im navel, the sweet kinnor with a nevel. Okay. What is a kinnor? What is a nevel? If you look at this somewhere else, different commentator. The Midrash says, a nevel is unique. A nevel, the word nevel is disgusting. Disgusting. Meruval, disgusting. So why is it called the Nevel? So the answer is because when they play the Nevel, all other music is disgusting. It's so good. It's so sweet. It makes everything else sound disgusting. Nevel makes everything else sound disgusting. Nevel. So Nevel is disgusting. A Meruval. Who is the Naval? Naval HaKarmeli. I remember the time of David HaMelech. So he was disgusting. So it makes other music sound disgusting. And then in verse 4 it tells us, Tiku b'chodesh shofar, blow the shofar at the moon's renewal. When is that? On Rosh Hashanah. So we have the link over here to Rosh Hashanah, which is with the renewal of the moon. It's the only holiday that takes place at the beginning of the month. All the holidays take place towards the beginning or the middle of the month. Most of them are in the middle of the month. Sukkot is in the middle of the month, 15th, and Pesach is in the middle of the month, and Shavuot is on the 6th of Sivan. The only holiday which is at the beginning of the month is Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah is Tiku B'Chodesh Shofar. The Shofar is blown on Rosh Hashanah to commemorate, number one, the cessation of the Israelite slavery on that day. We were free from slavery on Rosh Hashanah. Similarly, it's blown on Yom Kippur of the Yovel, on the Jubilee year, to liberate slaves. To liberate slaves again. So the Shofar, it's interesting, the sound of the Shofar is a sound of freedom. If you go to Philadelphia, you'll see there's a square called the Square of the Liberty Bell. Have you been to Liberty Bell? On the Liberty Bell is a pasuk from the Torah.
Right.
Oh, really? Yeah. Yovel hi. It's the verse that talks about the Jubilee year. And blowing the shofar, and it says, call freedom in the land. So they named it after Liberty Bell, but really it's a Liberty Shofar. It's not a Liberty Bell. In Jewish law, it's not a Liberty Bell. What made the noise was the shofar. When you blow the shofar, that's liberation for the slaves. The shofar blew on Yom Kippur of the Yovel. Normally, we don't. There's no mitzvah to blow the shofar Yom Kippur. We do blow the shofar at the end of Yom Kippur, but it's not Yom Kippur anymore. It's the 11th of Tishrei. Because you're not allowed to blow the shofar Yom Kippur. Because Yom Kippur is like Shabbat. You're allowed to make noise, musical instruments on Shabbat. You cannot make musical instruments on Yom Kippur. We don't blow the shofar, even Rosh Hashanah, if it falls on Shabbat. So how much more you don't blow the shofar in Yom Kippur? But there is a time where we did blow the shofar in Yom Kippur. And that was the Jubilee year, which is every 50 years. To tell the slaves that they go free now. No more slaves. The Jewish all the Jewish slaves go free on the Jubilee year on Yom Kippur. So when the Torah says, you'll call out freedom in the land, it's talking about the Liberty Shofar. Not the Liberty Bell, but Liberty Shofar. But this word, this verse is over there. If you go, it's amazing how the Americans put, they took a pasuk from the Torah and they put it on the Liberty Bell. So, Midrash Sochetov adds, Rosh Hashanah is a time for Chodesh. What's Chodesh? The month is called the Chodesh, but it comes from the word Chadash, new. It's new. And it's renewal of the month, and it's also renewal of our deeds. We have to renew our deeds. Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Chodesh. It's Chodesh, it's Chadash. We have to renew ourselves. Some people fast every Erev Rosh Chodesh. Every Erev Rosh Chodesh people fast. It's called Yom Kippur Katan. Small Yom Kippur. Why? To atone for what they did the previous month. So every 12 times a year they're fasting, plus Yom Kippur.
Plus
all the other fasts. So it's a one day fast, not a whole day, not from night.
But it's just like the other one.
Yeah, yeah. And what does the shofar stand for? Shufra. We find there were two mothers, right? The midwives. Shifra and Pua.
Right.
The word Shifra comes from the word Lishaper, which is to beautify. Shifra would beautify the baby. She would wash the baby, clean the baby after the baby is born. So Shofar comes from the word Shufra, improve or beautify your deeds. So Chadash is make your deeds new, and Shofar is beautify your deeds. Make them new and beautify them. Bakes Yom Hagenu. At the appointed time for our festive day. Others say kese comes from kisui, covered. This day is covered. Why is the day covered? It's the only holiday we said where the moon is covered. The new moon is not visible, only at the ends. So that day is a day in which, it's the only holiday which happens where the moon is covered. Furthermore, this day is a secret. It's a covered day. It's not. Doesn't say explicitly it's a day of judgment. The judgment of Rosh Hashanah is hidden. It's a secret. We are not allowed to mention sin on Rosh Hashanah. We're not allowed to do vidui on Rosh Hashanah. We hide this aspect of Rosh Hashanah. It's a secret. It's a secret aspect between us and God. It's not physical. It's more spiritual. It's esoteric. It's spiritual. And that's why we do not mention sin, because mentioning sin is also saying something, verbalizing the sin. Verbalizing it. We don't verbalize it. We're meant to think it, not verbalize it. So when we hear the shofar, we're meant to think thoughts of teshuvah. We're not meant to say thoughts of teshuvah. Why? What's the difference? And the answer is, it's very easy to talk. Talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. You know, there's a focus on hatarat nedarim, renulling vows before Rosh Hashanah and before Yom Kippur. annulling vows, annulling vows. Why do we keep annulling our vows? And the answer is because if a person is a liar and they don't keep their vows, doing teshuva is also a vow. Hashem, I'm going to change, I'm going to be better. Hashem says, you're a liar, I don't believe you.
Right, exactly.
So before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we have to do annul our vows to show that we are honest. We're honest people. But just talk is cheap. And what counts really is what's inside. So Rosh Hashanah, we don't talk. We don't mention anything about sin. We don't do vidui. We don't do teshuva.
Don't
nothing. On Rosh Hashanah, no. On Yom Kippur, many Yom times. Kippur. Five times. But Rosh Hashanah, we don't do it at all. Why? It's about thoughts. Rosh Hashanah is about thoughts. It's deeper than Yom Kippur. It's interesting. It's a much a deeper holiday. It's a very secret holiday. It's a much deeper holiday. We go eat and drink, but inside, we're meant to be scared stiff. It's a day of trepidation. It's a day of trepidation because it's a day of judgment. It's like you see guys going today. The murderers go to court. They're all dressed up. The biggest murderer is dressed up with a nice suit and jacket, make an impression on the judge. It's our court case. We have a court case on Rosh Hashanah. It's scary. The person goes to court. It's a very scary feeling of being judged. I remember my father, Alav HaShalom. A bike bumped into him. The motorbike bumped into his car and sued him for damages. Imagine the guy made up a whole story, he got damaged, and he made a whole story, and he had a policeman to give witness, and my father, I drove him to court. My father says, I can't drive, I'm too nervous. You drive me. I drove him to court. I didn't go in, I just dropped him off there, and I picked him up after. And when he went, he was a bunch of nerves. And when he came back, he had a big smile on his face. I said, Daddy, what happened? He said they all spoke lies and they distorted each other's witness testimony. This guy said this and this guy said that. And the judge threw out the case. He threw out the case. But it said it's like Rosh Hashanah. That's a good example of Rosh Hashanah. When Rosh Hashanah, we dress up nicely, but inside we should be shaking. Why? Because we're being judged. It's a day of judgment. So why do we look good? And the answer is because here we have protection. We have protection. You know what protection is? We know the judge. Because the judge is our father. We have a little bit of a protection over here. We have because the judge, God, is our father. So can you imagine, you're going to the judge, but you're not so worried. You know why? Because you know the judge is your father. Avinu Malkeinu, he's our father and now he's our king. Avinu, so he's our father. So since he's our father, Hashem will have mercy on us. And we trust in God's mercy. A person's got to trust in God's mercy. And the trust in God's mercy will pull a person out from their troubles. Trusting in God is the best key for salvation. Trusting in God is the key for salvation. Haboteach ba'Hashem, David HaMelech says, if you trust in God, chesed yisovvenhu will be surrounded by kindness, by chesed. So Rosh Hashanah also were true. A person's trust in God's mercy will be redeemed. So that's why we dress up nicely. We trust in God's mercy. But it's still Day of Judgment. So what do? We're not allowed to say Hallel. It's the only Rosh Chodesh where there's no Hallel. Every Rosh Chodesh we say Hallel to sing praises to God. On Rosh Hashanah we don't sing praises to God. Why? We're too scared to sing. It's the Day of Judgment. So on the one hand, it's a day of happiness. We dress up on the outside, we're all happy. On the inside, shaking. And that's why a person should be very careful Rosh Hashanah not to waste the time. It's a very special time. And do teshuva internally. Why? Hashem says, I don't want to hear what you have to say. I want to see what's going on inside. And it's very, what we think inside is very critical to how we come out of Rosh Hashanah. A person's going to be broken inside. And that's what the shofar is. The shofar is a cry of the wild. It's a cry without any voice, without any sounds of words. It's not a glib talk. It is a cry from the heart. The shofar is a cry from the heart. It's meant to break through the barriers to our heart and let the heart talk to God. Not the voice talk to God, but the heart talk to God. So it's really a cry. It's an animal-like cry. It's like a person has lost for words and starts crying. Right? Some people, sometimes you get so bitter inside, a person can't even say the speech. They lose the speech and they start crying. And that's what the shofar is. The shofar is trying to break through the barriers of our glib and our easy talk. We can't con God. We have to break the heart. The person, God wants, Rachmana Libabai, God wants the heart of the person. And all the speech, Hashem says, your speech, get away. I don't hear your speech. I want your heart. I want to see your heart inside crying out to me. And that's what the shofar is. The shofar is a cry from the heart and meant to arouse us internally. So that's what the pasuk says in verse 4, Tiku b'chodesh shofar, blow on the new month the shofar. Bakesel yom hagenu. It's a day of hiddenness. A day of happiness and a day of hiddenness. What do you mean day of hiddenness? The judgment of Rosh Hashanah is hidden. It's one of the big secrets. The Torah does not talk about a day of judgment. Who talks about it? The Talmud talks about it. The Talmud says Rosh Hashanah is the day of judgment. Let's just see this Talmud very quickly. So it's a day of judgment, and that's what the Talmud tells us in Rosh Hashanah. It says over here that Rosh Hashanah is a day when Hashem judges the whole world. It's not just the Jewish people. People don't know. The whole world is being judged on Rosh Hashanah. All the countries in the world are being judged. And we say in our prayers, which country will live, which country will die. Elu lecherev, elu l'ra'a. Elu l'sava.
Referring to countries, not people?
People and countries. It's not just people are judged, countries in the world are also judged. Everyone's judged. All the nations in the world are judged.
But it doesn't say it in the Siddur, right?
It says in the Siddur, yes, in our prayers we say. And number two is, the Mishnah says, every single human being passes before God like B'nai Maron. B'nai Maron, two different opinions. One opinion the Gemara says, it's talking about like sheep before the shepherd.
Right.
So you can imagine, we're all passing before God. Each one has their own time. Scary to think about. Hashem is focusing on you. One second. Split second. Doesn't even behave a split second. I said, God. We're talking about God over here. Everyone is being examined personally, individually, and for God. Everyone gets their own judgment. Hashgacha. Pratit. Specific judgment for that person. Tailor fitted for that person. And every country gets judged. So that's the day of hiddenness. The hiddenness is the judgment of that day is hidden. But on the other hand, it's called Hagenu. It's called our festival. It's a happy day as well. Why? Because we have protexia. We know the judge. Right? There's a great story. It's a true story about this Israeli guy who moved here. He moved here with his parents, and then his parents died. He became an orphan. And he was raised by his uncle, aunt, whatever, raised very badly. And he basically lived on the streets. And he was 18, 19 years old. He was one of the big drug... He became a drug dealer. He became a big drug dealer. And eventually gets caught by the FBI. And he ends up in jail. And he has money. He made a lot of money out of the drug dealing. He gets himself out on bail, and he goes to the top lawyer he can find. And the top lawyer says, I can't do anything. They got a watertight case against you. There's very little I can do. He said, listen, what can I do? So I'm going to hire you anyway. I need a lawyer. I need someone to protect me. So okay, but he says, I got to warn you. There's very little I can do. Okay, he has a court case. So it's a date. He goes to the court, and he's waiting for his lawyer. And the lawyer's late. Eventually he gets a call from the lawyer, I had a car accident, and my law company is going to send a substitute. Oh, never seen this guy before. And okay, so they wait, another hour goes by, the substitute walks in, he's a young guy, 24 years old.
Oh.
He comes with a brand new briefcase, it's like his first case in court. Imagine, he's the substitute. Where's my lawyer? Your lawyer, he said, don't worry. The young guy says, don't worry. Nothing's going to happen, you're okay, you're fine. Fine. The other guy says, I'm in trouble. You're saying I'm fine. You don't even know what you're talking about. So he goes and sits in the court. And eventually it's his case. And the prosecutor comes on. They have this evidence, that evidence. They have wiretapping. They have this. It's a massive case against him. And his lawyer gets up. You have any questions for the witnesses? He says, no, sir. No questions. Sits down. I says, finished. I'm finished. My lawyer is all quiet now. I'm finished. What's going on? So the lawyer looks at him and says, don't worry. So he goes on and on and on. You have any questions? No questions. On and on, another witness. You have a question? No questions. Fine, that's it. The judge's judgment's over. He's waiting now for the verdict from the judge. And the judge gets up and he says, I have questions for the FBI. Da, da, da. This was illegally obtained testimony. You did this illegally. You did that illegally. I threw out this case.
I don't understand.
He threw out the case because all the evidence they had was based on some illegal thing they did, the FBI. They didn't do it legally.
The judge did that?
The judge did that.
And
then afterwards, the guy gets out. Listen to the punchline. The guy gets out of court.
Uh-huh.
And he sees the young lawyer. And the young lawyer says, I told you, it's everything's going to be all right. He says, how do you know? He says, because the judge is my grandfather. But the idea is the judge is our grandfather. We have to realize the judge is our father. Hashem is our father. And therefore, you have to have trust your father will get you through this.
You know what, Rabbi?
Yes.
You're confusing me totally.
Yes.
Why do we bother davening, going to shul, if we know that Hashem is going to do everything good for us?
He will, but...
We don't know that.
Listen, my
That's
friend. Listen, my friend. It's like a father. The father does good, but sometimes the father throws out the son. The father will throw out the son.
Sometimes he punishes.
Sometimes the father punishes the son.
Okay.
But it's got to be, it's done with mercy. That's what we're saying. There's mercy. There's a lot of it. It's done with mercy. But you have to make the best case for yourself. Because you're the son. You say, Daddy, I'm sorry. I won't do it again. Please forgive me. Because we are like children who are thrown out their father's house.
Right.
The Jews were exiled. The rabbis say that's like children who are thrown out from their father's house. He's still our father, but he threw us out the house. We didn't behave properly. So we have to know, on the one hand, he's our father. On the other hand, we have to behave properly as well. There's two parts to this. But still, he's still a father. And, you know, this, even though he threw us out, he still cares about us. He's still sending his detectives to find out how we're doing. How are we doing? How are these guys doing? How are my children doing? So there's another Anandji. They said
probably also for us, because we feel better when we know that we're becoming better people.
Bezrat Hashem. Bezrat Hashem. There's nothing better than Yom Kippur. Why? Because in Yom Kippur you feel cleaned. You feel cleaned out. Spiritually clean after Yom Kippur. And that's why there's a dichotomy over here. On the one hand, these high holidays of joy. On the other hand, they're high holidays of trepidation. There's a balance over here between fear and joy. Because the high holidays is a lot of joy. Why? Because our relationship with God is going to be healed. But the trepidation is we don't know which way Hashem is going to push us for the coming year. But we have to realize that everything in the coming year is based on this day. Rosh Hashanah, everything we're going to happen to us on the coming year is based on this day. Happening in the world is going to be based on this day. We're going to talk about it now. So the Shofar Blast is Rosh Hashanah to commemorate the cessation, we said, of the Israelite slavery on that day. Rosh Hashanah is a time for renewal. Chadash, it's Chodesh, Chadash. It's a day for Shofra, to improve our deeds. The Shofar, improve our deeds. Bekes Yom Hagenu, at the time where everything is covered. We said the judgment of God is covered. Because it is a decree for Israel. The shofar is sounded on Rosh Hashanah because of a custom. It's a chok. It's a decree for Israel. Shofar on Rosh Hashanah is a decree from God, explicitly in the Torah. A judgment for the God of Jacob. Okay, it's chok. So there's a beautiful Gemara here in Beitza. And Beitza deals with laws of Yom Tov. And over there brings down a Gemara here. And the Gemara starts off. Rav Tachlifa says the following. Kol mezonotav shel adam ketuvim lo. All of a person's income is fixed each year. Merosh Hashanah ad Yom Kippur. From Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, the 10 days of repentance, Hashem will tell us how much you're going to get the next year. Person's going to make money, person's going to lose money, person's going to how much they're going to make. It's all fixed in these 10 days of repentance. Except for Chutz mehotzaat Shabbatot v'otzaat Yamim Tovim. Except for the expenditure you're going to spend for Shabbat, you spend more for Shabbat, Hashem says, I'll reimburse you, don't worry. It's on my account. You spend more for Yom Tov, Hashem says, I'll reimburse you. V'otzaat banav l'talmud Torah. And how much you spend for your children's education, for Torah studies.
Right?
It's going to be reimbursed by God.
I'm glad you believe that, Rabbi.
I do, because I know. There's no way I could send my kids to yeshiva. There's no way. It's impossible. I don't know how I did it. It's a miracle. I don't know how I sent my own kids to yeshiva. I'll tell you, I couldn't. For $50,000 a year. Mm-hmm. How do you do that? It's a miracle. Hashem reimbursed me. True. It's true. I can guarantee it. It happened to me.
How did you do it?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I didn't do any calculations.
But he did it.
I did it. I did it. Smile. Yeah, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. I'll tell you, it's a miracle.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It's a miracle.
All five of all seven of them?
Yeah, thank God. And I'm still paying. Because my daughter's in seminary, and seminary is $17,000 a year. And that's with a break.
Right,
it's $23,000. Yeah. They gave me a $5,000 break. Baruch Hashem. Being Jewish is expensive.
Sure is.
Keeping mitzvot is very expensive. You see, look at the price of kosher chicken and non-kosher chicken.
I thought it's free of charge for rabbis.
It is.
Yeah.
Until you become a rabbi. When you're a rabbi, then they tell you, oh, but you got to pay.
Told you that.
Anyway, so
it's nothing.
Nothing's free.
Yeah.
Nothing's free.
Yeah.
Nothing worthwhile is free. That's a general rule in life. Whatever's free is not worth it. So you got to pay. You want a good education, you pay more. It's like college, right? So sending a kid to yeshiva is like sending a kid to college. So look what the Gemara says. All our expenditures are fixed between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, except for the expenditure of Shabbat and Yom Tov, and except for the expenditure for yeshiva tuition for your kids. And there's a big debate. Tosfot seems to say those are the only two things that are not fixed. Shabbat, Yom Tov, and yeshiva tuition. However, the Ritva says, no, this applies to any mitzvah. Any mitzvah you do with your money, Hashem guarantees, I'll pick it up. I'll pick up the tab. It's on my account. Hashem says, on my account, you're going to get money from it. Somehow you're going to get money from it.
It's really good to report.
Listen, I'm telling you, this is the Talmud. Listen, believe this, because the more you believe it, the more you create it. We create our realities by our beliefs. We create. We have to understand that. The Rambam says, if you believe in Olam Haba, you will get Olam Haba. If you don't believe in Olam Haba, you won't get Olam Haba. Amazing. A person doesn't believe in the world to come. Hashem says, you don't believe? You don't get it. You don't believe in the revival of the dead? You won't get the revival of the dead. What you believe creates your future. Your destiny is created by your belief. You believe in God? God says, I'm with you. He says, I don't believe in you. Okay, well, I'm not with you. You know, a famous story, it says, this kid, he's a backpacker, and he wasn't religious. He's backpacking through Israel, and he happened to go to the Kotel, because, you know, you can't go to Israel. Everyone tells him, you can't go to Israel without going to the Kotel. So he goes to the Kotel. He says, God, he says, if you really exist, send me a sign right now. Send me a sign right now. Straight away, he feels someone tapping on his back. He thought it's God. This small guy, Jeff Seidel. He says, would you like a place for Shabbat? He says, wow. He says, I just prayed to God to give me a sign. And he sent you. You're the sign. He was a sign. This man has been a sign for many Jews all over the world. He saved a lot of Jews by picking them up from the Kotel to bring them to his house for Shabbat. Amazing, amazing. Did a lot of mitzvah for that man. And now I was there recently, and I see in the old city, there's actually a building. Jeff Seidel has a building in the old city called the Jeff Seidel Hospitality Center.
Right.
Amazing, amazing mitzvah for that
boy. What does he do for a living?
Right, this is what he does. That's his full-time job. Well, amazing, amazing. People go on Friday night. He would go on Friday night.
Sure,
in Israel. Well, the concert on Friday night, there's a lot of people there.
Right.
He sees a guy with a backpack, says, come over for Shabbat. I said, sure, I'm looking for a place.
Rabbi, could you just touch on, like, how do we know for ourselves what we have to improve on? Like, we're thinking people. We
yes.
try to do the best
yes.
in the situation.
Yes.
How do we know what faults we have?
How do we know? So that's the thing. You can never know your faults unless you learn Torah. Because by the Torah standards, we measure ourselves. We measure ourselves by Torah standards. So a person doesn't know Torah, won't know the mitzvot. Won't know which mitzvah he broke, which mitzvah he kept. He doesn't know between his right and his left. He's blind. A person walking around in blindness. It's interesting because one of the themes of Rosh Hashanah is blindness. Spiritual blindness. On the first day of Rosh Hashanah, we read about Yishmael and Hagar being thrown out of the house. Avraham Avinu throws out his son Yishmael. Why did he throw out his son Yishmael? Because his wife said so. Sarah says, throw him out. Throw him out and throw her out. Throw them both out.
Yes.
Hashem says, whatever she says, Ishma Bekola. Listen to her voice. Rashi says she was a bigger prophet than Abraham. Her voice, the voice of her prophecy. Sarah was a bigger prophetess than Abraham Avinu. So he throws them out, and Hagar, it says, leaves her son dying in the desert. He's dying, he has a temperature, there's no water. He's dying, and Hagar walks away, far away from him, doesn't want to see her son die. So an angel comes to her. Imagine what kind of level she's on. The angel comes to her. Angel never came to me, but the angel comes to her. Hagar! He says, Hagar, what's the problem? He says, there's no water. My son is dying of thirst. So it says he opened her eyes, and she saw
the well.
Now what do you mean he opened her eyes? He didn't create a well. He just opened her eyes. What does that mean? That means when you are flustered, you can't see what's right in front of you. When you are worried, you can't see what's right in front of you. Sometimes the salvation is right there. It's like sometimes you lose something. Imagine a guy looking for his glasses and he's wearing them. Ever seen that? It's not funny because it happens, right? Guy says, where's my glasses? I'm wearing them. So it's right in front of our eyes. Don't get flustered. It's right there. Sometimes the salvation is there, right there. Just we can't see it because we have no emunah. What stops us getting flustered is our belief in God. Person says, I believe in God, I'm not flustered. I'm not worried. Imagine, it's amazing, amazing, amazing. How can you not be flustered? It says, I can't remember, it's one of the stories of Baal Shem Tov. You gotta take these stories, the Hasidic stories. Baal Shem Tov. So Baal Shem Tov says, he gets a note, he gets, go to so and so place. You have to learn a new lesson today. So he takes his students on his magic wagon, right? He has his wagon, the horses go, and they don't travel, they just fly, and they land over there, and they come to a place, and they see they're in an inn, innkeeper. In those days, most, a lot of Jews were innkeepers. And they go to the inn, and they go to the guy, and they order some drinks and things, and the guy says, I have a very important appointment with the porrits, the local nobleman. I got to pay my rent, and I have no money. And the Arizal says, aren't you worried? No, he says, I believe in God. I trust in God fully. Hashem is going to help me. I owe 500 ruble and I have 200 ruble. Where's the 300 going to come from? Oh, Hashem is going to help me. When is your appointment? 12 o'clock today. What time is it now? 11. But I'm not worried. Hashem is going to help me. He's short of 300 ruble. So he sets out. He's not worried. He's not trembling. I'll be trembling. If you don't pay your money, you'll be thrown in jail. So he's going. You see, they watch from the window. He's walking down the street. All of a sudden, they see a wagon driving by and stopping. And they got into discussion with this guy. And then the guy says, no, go away. And then the wagon continues a little bit and stops again and starts discussing again. And then they see the man on the wagon is giving this guy money. And the guy goes to the porrits, pays off his debt, and comes back. And he's all smiles. They said, what happened? How did you get the rest of the money? 300 ruble. He said, on the way to the thing, someone talked to me. He says, he wants to buy my supply of wine that I have in the basement. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to offer me 200 ruble. I said, no, I want 300 ruble. And he went away and he came back again. And he gave me the 300 ruble and I paid my... So Rizal says, wow, that's an amazing lesson in Bitachon. So it depends. It depends on the situation. Only God knows the final answer. But some people with their bitachon. The person himself has to have bitachon, not just you. I have bitachon for myself. I can't have bitachon for you. The person themselves has to have bitachon. Let me give you an example. This happened to me a true story. I was drowning in a lake. Crazy. I was in Canada and the lake's over there. Beautiful. Beautiful. Gorgeous. You ever seen those lakes? The water is pure, clean, pure. Just amazing. For a swim in the lake. And look, there was a little island. Wasn't look very far away. It did not look very far away. It's very... Right? I told my wife, I'm going to go swim to that place. And I started swimming to the island. The island, I was after a day of rowing as well. And I was young and strong. But you know what? I just couldn't do it. I couldn't get there. So what I do? Panic? You can't panic. If you panic, you're finished.
Panic, you're finished.
So I go lie on my back and start screaming, help, help, help. Okay, so this guy comes from the shore, he jumps in, puts me on his back and takes me back. My example is, why? Because if you panic, you're finished. A person who has no faith in God panics. But we have to have faith in God in our lives. And that faith in God is also a big mitzvah. So faith in God is a mitzvah, is the first mitzvah of the Torah, to know there's a God. Not just to know, but also to believe that He helps in times of trouble. So it depends. So obviously there's a thing called hishtadlut. You try your best. You gotta scream. If you don't scream help, no one's gonna come to you. So you gotta do something to trigger that. I'm just saying that a person tried their best. Now what? Bitachon. Bitachon. You tried your best. You did your hishtadlut. Then bitachon. There's nothing else you can do. All right. So Rosh Hashanah.
How do you develop such bitachon?
And number one is, you have to look at your life and see, where did God help you in your life? I know in my life, certain key points, Hashem was there. You got to build up this relationship with God that says, you know, Hashem, you never let me down. The person's going to look at his life and say, look at the points where I could have been let down. How do I find my wife? It's a miracle. That's not the question. I just went to my friend's house. He said, I got a girl for you. I don't know. I wasn't even dressed for it. I wasn't ready for it. So I'm thanking you right now. So I don't have a shirt. He said, I'll give you my shirt. Where do you get a person like that? But he's a messenger of God. God says, the time came for you to feed your wife, and you meet your wife. The time came to meet your spouse, you meet your spouse. It's like Hashem does not let you down. Some people, they go through their lives, they don't meet anyone. The truth is they did, and they turned them down. They turned down this one, they turned down that one, they turned down that one. And the guy says, I never got married. Why? Nothing clicked. And Robert Miller says, something wrong with your clicker. There's something wrong with your clicker. Hashem sends you this one, Hashem sends you that one, and you say, keep saying no. What do you want to do? Say yes. So that's the problem today with our singles. They just don't agree to say yes. They won't say yes. And then we say yes, the other guy says no. It's hard. So we're moving on to Psalm 81. And we're hardly getting through the whole. Oh, it's a very long, it seems to be a very long psalm over here. So that's what we learn out from, that our sustenance, hok, is also a language for food. A hok is fixed this time. It's a mishpat. So what seems to us a chok, which is no rational reason, things happen to us with no rational reason. Mishpat el Yaakov. It is a mishpat for God. What's the reason a chok and a mishpat? Chok is a law with no reason.
A chok.
A chok. No, I thought
you said a hawk.
Yeah. A chok. A chok with a chet.
Yeah, got
gotcha. Chok l'Yisraelu. The Jews look at it and say, I don't understand what's going on. Why did God do this to me? Why? That's a chok. Mishpat l'Yaakov. But for God, he has a reason. Mm-hmm. We have to realize, whatever happens in this world, there's a reason that God has. We don't know the reason. But it's a chok. For us, it's a chok.
Will we find out the reason?
Yes, when you get to the next world, there's no rush. Don't be in a rush to get there. Edut b'Yosef Samo. Hashem put a witness for Yehosef. Who was Yehosef? Yehosef was Yosef. Hashem gave Yosef an extra present, a hay. The hay of God's name is put in Yosef. Why? Because Yosef was a tzaddik. We don't say Abraham a tzaddik. We don't say Yitzhak a tzaddik. We don't say Yaakov a tzaddik. We say Yosef a tzaddik. Why is Yosef called a tzaddik? Because he passed the test of morality. A tzaddik is a person who passed the test of morality. And Hashem gave him an extra hay from his name. It says why? Because on Rosh Hashanah, Yosef got out of jail as well. A lot of things happen on Rosh Hashanah. We don't really pay attention. On Rosh Hashanah, our servitude in Egypt stopped. On Rosh Hashanah, we got out of jail. On Rosh Hashanah, Sarah got pregnant. Her prayers were answered. Hannah got answered. Prayers were answered to have a child. All these things happened on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a very important day for us. If we have a special prayer, now is the time to write down what we need. Prepare now. Okay, so let's just talk a little bit about Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, number one, is now is the time to write down what we need from God. And not only that, but we have to write down why we need it. It's not just what we need. We'll say, why do we need it? Hashem, I need $1 million. What are you going to do with it? What do you need it for? So I got this tuition. I got to pay this tuition. I got to pay this bill, that bill. Please, Hashem, give us the money. Hashem says, okay. If you have valid reasons, if a person says, I'm doing it for you, Hashem, because I want to give my children the best possible education. For you. Hashem says, if you do it for me, it's on my account. You got it. If you do it for yourself, you get a problem. If you do it for me, no problem. So if we become the messengers of God in this world, Hashem says, I'll fill up all the bills. Don't worry. I'll take care of everything. You know what happened? In my vacation, I had a very good experience. What was my experience? I go to Israel, and I wanted to rent an apartment. So I told my kids, rent the apartment for me. Okay, it's two bedroom. It's not big. Well, okay, take it. What can I do? It's expensive. 7,000 shekels for 3 weeks. And then a few days before, the guy says they cancelled it. There's someone else who rented it at the same time. I said, what are you talking about? How can someone else rent my... I just rented it. How can you say someone else rented it? No, it's taken. Okay, it's Israelis. I don't argue with it. You can't argue with it. So my daughter-in-law sends out an email to the list. Ramat Beit Shemesh, list. And we got a beautiful villa for a cheaper price. Villa. A 5-bedroom villa.
Wow.
With a garden for a smaller price. Because they just happened to have to go to America. And they left exactly the same day we came. And they came back.
Wow.
If that's not Hashgacha Pratit.
Right.
And now it gets better. Why? Because it's yeshiva vacation in Israel. I normally try to avoid yeshiva vacation in Israel because there's tons of people on the streets. Right. Everyone's going somewhere and the buses are packed and I try and avoid it. But I happened to be, I don't, we didn't, we couldn't avoid it. So we went on a yeshiva vacation, and my grandchildren are on vacation.
Hi.
And they start coming to my house every morning for breakfast.
Aww.
And then they say, Saba, can you teach us Torah?
How beautiful. Wow.
Isn't that beautiful? That's the biggest blessing. So Bezrat Hashem, all of us will have the opportunity to teach our grandchildren, great-grandchildren Torah in Eretz Yisrael. Amen.
Amen. Amen.